We look crazy, don't we? Yet still, most of us do that all the time. Get mad at God. Hey, there's some people in the atrium. Will you help me honor them? Thanks for being here. Those of you all in the atrium, appreciate you. Thanks for being here. Awesome. Let's pray, see if we can get through this today. I was going to do a series on balance, and I am, but I need two weeks to talk about prayer. Haven't been in this for the last 5 or 6 days now. I am convinced that we need to talk about prayer. So we're going to do it for 2 weeks, and then we're going to start the series on balance and creating healthy rhythms in our lives. So will you pray with me first? Thanks. Father, we get it. As a church and as human beings, we're limited. We can't do anything for eternity apart from you. So will your supernatural grace now be bestowed upon this body of believers as we get to your word? Do what only you can do, and that is to change hearts so that they align with yours. We need that on this first Sunday of the new year. Thank you for the Cowboys win. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a minute, y'all. It's been a minute since we've been here. Won't he do it, everybody? Won't he do it? Give us the Rams, not the Saints, y'all. Give us the Rams, not the Saints. You can't beat the Saints twice, okay? You just can't beat the Saints twice. Help us, Lord. Anyways, all right, I got a far way to go, okay? Let's get off of them Cowboys. They already got paid, okay? They already got paid for yesterday's game. But praise the Lord. Can I get a witness for them boys? See, some of y'all are haters. That's the problem. Some of y'all hate us. Even if you don't like them, just can I get at least have been through? 18 years, we've been through. Hallelujah. One more time. Anyways, all right, enough of that. Let's get to the word now. That's all in the flesh. Let's get to the spirit of the living God. I want to read Psalm chapter 1. Then I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 14 and go to verse 18. Right after which I want to tee it up and show you the challenge that we face as a church and as individual believers. So why don't you stand with me? If you're outside an atrium, can you stand too? Everybody stand. Let's read the word of the Lord together, everybody. Let's read Psalm chapter 1. We're going to start verse 2 and verse 3. Then we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here we go, everybody. But his is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. All right, so the one who is blessed, the blessed man, is the one who loves the word of God, loves it, delights in it, can't get enough of it, yearns for it on a daily basis. Verse number 3, here's what it says. It says, read it with me. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he... Watch the text now. It says that the blessed man is one who loves, delights in the word of the Lord. And when he does, he's going to be like a tree firmly planted by streams, which means there is a consistent flow of nourishment, which then means it will yield its fruit and its leaf will not wither. Here we go. And whether days are up or whether days are down, whether it's brilliant sunshine or cloudy, in whatever he or she does, he prospers. Nothing to do with money, everything to do with it is well with your soul. All right, watch now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Here we go. Here's what it says. Read this one slowly. Read it with me, everybody. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the, help the, be patient with. Here we go. First person, I want you to admonish the unruly. speak into their lives. Don't leave them alone. Don't cut them off. Admonish them. Then I want you, there's some people that are going to be faint-hearted. They can't make it. I want you to talk to them, and I want you to encourage them too. Then there's some weak people that I want you to help them. And then if they're not in those three categories, everybody, I want you to be patient with them. How in the world do you do that? I know what you're saying. You're saying, Pastor, you don't know my friends and you don't know my family. Can't do it. Next verse. Come on, I'm setting you up. There's one more group. Next verse. See that no one another with evil. Stop right there. You don't get the opportunity when somebody do you wrong to do them back wrong. That is, if you're walking in the flesh, you can do that. But if you say you know Jesus and you're a tree firmly planted by the stream, when they do evil toward you, you don't do it back. I don't care what they're doing in politics. I don't care what they're doing in your job, in the church house. You don't do evil for evil. So the Bible says, instead, but always, which is good, for one another and for, in other words, don't do evil, do good. When they do evil to you, I want you to do good to them. I want you to bless them when they try to hurt you. No, I know what you're saying again, Pastor. You don't know the people I hang out with. They trifling. You don't know this person beside me. They trifling sometime. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Now, he's going to tell you how to do it. That's the beauty of the passage. He's going to tell you how. Here's the next verse. Watch it. He's going to tell you how. Here it is. Say them two words with me. That's what he says. There should never be a time as a believer that you don't have joy in your life. Never. So if you're ever not joyful, that means you're walking in the flesh. There should never be a time when you're not joyful. It's not done. Next one. Here we go. Pray without ceasing. There should never be a time when you're not inclined toward a relationship with God where you're praying. Never. One more. Here we go. Next one. In everything, give. Thanks. Stop right there. In everything, give. Thanks. Now, some of you always ask me this question. Number one question I get asked. How do I know God's will for me? I'm going to tell you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Read the rest of it now. For this is God's will. There is not a moment where God does not want you to be rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. Look at your neighbor and say, there is not a moment, look at them, when God does not want you to be joyful, praying, giving thanks. Then no, look at the other one and say, you in God's will right now? Mm-hmm. Sit down. Preach, Pastor, preach. Lord have mercy. You know you out of God's will. You out of God's will right now. Because you came here on the way to church. You were chewing me out. You went in God's will. Get in God's will. My concern for the big church and for this church is that we have bought into religion and we have avoided a relationship with Jesus. That is my concern. I know you don't think you do it, but I'm going to show you in a minute that you do. We have bought into religious activity. Here's another way to say it. We've bought into routine. We've bought into rituals. And we have forfeited a relationship with Jesus. It is my deepest concern. Ladies and gentlemen, churches throughout history have bought into, and you don't even know it, I am going after a relationship with God because I have a deal with God. I'm going to check these boxes, and because I do this, you better be good at me. You better be good to me. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to try to do good. I'm going to try to hold. I want to give him a piece of my mind, and I'm not going to do it. But I'm scoring points with you, God, because the more I do this, the more you owe me. You don't realize that you do it. But we all do. God, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to give a little bit of money. I'm going to serve a little bit. I'm going to sacrifice a little bit. But all this stuff I'm doing, I need you to know, I hope you're putting it in a bank account so that when I need it and I call on you, you can give it to me, because if you don't, I'm going to be mad at you. And by the way, don't take somebody that I love, that I really, really love, before it's time for them to go. Because if you do, I'm going to be pissed off at you, and I might not come back to church. I'll get so mad at you because I've been doing all the right things, and you still didn't give me what I want. Here's why you think that way. Because you are pursuing a religious activity. There's a church like that. In Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea, he says, you're neither hot, nor you ain't worldly. At least go be buck wild crazy, but you ain't that. You come to church before you go to the club. You're trying to be in the middle, but you're not hot either. You ain't all in, fired up, all into Jesus. You be like, those are fanatics over there. We ain't doing that. My Bible says, God says to that church, hey, y'all, I wish you were buck wild crazy or all in with me, but you're neither. You trying to stay in the middle. And he says, I want to spit you out. Church gathered at one community church. He could be talking to all of us in here. Because God, I want to pursue and I want to get as rich as I can and have all the money in the world I can. But if you ask me to do too much, I ain't going to do it all. We do it all the time. It's called religious activity. Let me say it another way. We want to be respectful to God and keep him at a distance, but we don't want him to get too close. Because if he gets too close, he might ask you to do some stuff you don't want to do. So you like keeping him, you like giving him the Heisman. Don't come too close, Jesus. I'm good right here. Here's what that same passage says, Revelation chapter 3. Now go to verse 20. Here's what it says. He stands at the door and he is knocking. And here's what he wants. Will you let me in? Let me say it another way. This is what separates Christianity from every other religion. God says, I can force you to serve. God says, I can force you to give me money. He says, I can force you to do a lot of things. But there's one thing I can't force you to do. I can't force you to love me. That's why he knocks at the door and says, will you please open? I'm the good father, Luke chapter 15, and I'm waiting for my wayward child to come back home. I'm looking out the door, down the street, waiting for you to turn and let me in. And he asks today, the invitation is, will you let him in? He's not talking to people who don't know him. He's talking to people who know him, but they're cold and not hot. That's what we do. We got this religious activity going where it's what we do on Sundays. We go to church. Let's all go to church. Oh, it's the first of the year too. Let's all go to church on the first of the year. Let's start it right. Here's why. Because you got an agreement with God. I'm going to start this thing off right. But once I start this off right, this year better go well with me, because if it don't, I tell you what, if this year don't go well with me, I'm done with you. And I know so many people that when God didn't give them what they want, they were done with God. Here's why. They don't have a relationship with him. They have a religious activity, not a relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason your kids don't want to have nothing to do with your church when they go to college is because all they saw was the checking of the boxes. They didn't see a personal relationship, intimacy with God. Because if you're going to have intimacy, there are three things you need. I'm not even at my notes yet. If you're going to have intimacy, there are three things you need. Intimacy. See, the problem with intimacy is because we're in an overly sex-craved world, you think intimacy equals sex. But Lord have mercy if you know that sex is an activity. Intimacy is an experience. Lord have mercy. I need to preach on relationships already, but I'm going to leave it alone. We're talking about this one. We're not talking about this one. Leave this one alone. We're talking about this one. Anyway, that's for February. I'll talk to y'all about that in February. But anyways, come on back. Bring your mind back. Come on back. All right, here we go. So we're talking about intimacy. Let me help you understand how you have an intimate relationship with people. Because a lot of people don't know how to be intimate. A lot of people know how to have sex, but they don't know how to be intimate. So I'm going to show you how to be intimate right now before I even get to my notes. Then we're going to get to the notes. See, you can't have intimacy unless you spend time with the person. By the way, unless you spend unhurried time with the person. Unless you linger with the person. That's the problem. You want an experience, but you don't want to spend no time. That's the problem with us. We want, hey, God, yeah, we, me and you tight. No, you're not. No, you're not. You haven't spent any unhurried time with him. You're too busy to spend time with God. Your priorities are all out of whack. So you don't spend any unhurried time with God. No unhurried time, no intimacy. You, gentlemen, fellas, can I help you, fellas? No unhurried time all day long. Then you don't have intimacy. You have an activity. You don't have intimacy. God says, if you want to be intimate with me, then you have to spend time with me. Number two, second thing. If you're going to have intimacy, then you also have to have transparency. That's why the Bible says they were naked. Finish it with me. They were naked and... Hold on. We don't know the Bible here. Hold on. Let's try it again. They were naked in Genesis. They were naked and unashamed. That's right. Because there was nothing to hide. There was all of me. I want you to know everything I think. I want you to know how I think. I want you to know my needs, my desires, my wants. I want you to know what frustrates you. I want you to know all of me. If there is no transparency, there's no intimacy. You don't get intimate without being open. And here is who I really, really am. God says, that's the kind of relationship I want with you. I'm knocking at the door, dying to have unhurried time with you, dying to have transparent moments with you where you can tell me your heart and what's really on your heart. You don't get that. You don't get intimacy. It's not checking the church box. Number three, this is the one that you really don't like, which is what prevents us from intimacy. Number three is submission. You don't have submission, you don't have intimacy. You don't have mutual submission. You don't have intimacy. Let me help you out again. Submission. I'm going to take everything I have, all my gifts, talents, assets, resources, all the stuff I have, and I'm going to leverage it for your best interest. That's what submission says. Everything I've got, I'm going to... That's why to do a prenup is not intimate. Because intimacy says, all of me... I'm gonna leverage for you. So everything I have, all that I have, I'm leveraging it for you. And the only way you have intimacy is if you're committed to doing that. Now here's the beauty of God. Jesus says, I already did that for you. All of me, I sacrificed on the cross. God the Father says, I gave you my very best for you so you can have a relationship with me. God says, I've done exactly what's demanded in an intimate relationship. Now the question is, will you do the same for Jesus? And the truth of the matter is, most of us says, no, I am not leveraging all I have for you. I'm not, which therefore means you're going to keep your religious activity up, but you're not going to have a relationship. You're going to go the way of religion, not the way of a relationship. And you're going to say to Jesus, he is knocking. And you're going to say, I'm not opening it. I'm leaving that door closed because it's going to cost me too much. When you look at what it costs him, you're going to say, mm-mm, not me, I don't want to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, just know when you do that, you don't have a relationship with the God of this world. You have a religious activity that you're performing. And too many people go to church for religious activity. You don't spend time with God. You don't have a relationship with him. You don't have a relationship with him. He's on the outside of your life. He's not on the inside of your life. That is the cry. That's what breaks the heart of God for churches all over this place. Because you're doing exactly what all other religions do. Checking the boxes that you've done your religious duty when he's inviting you to a relationship. Not a religious activity. Can I get a witness, OCC? Come on, man. We got to go to another level this year. We got to go to another level. We got to end the game. Your kids will hurt because they will say, Mom, Dad, this was a game for you. They're never going to tell you like that. They're just going to say they want to have nothing to do with your faith because they didn't see you weeping before God. They never interrupted you doing anything except watching football. They don't interrupt you praying. They don't interrupt you with your face down before God. They don't even know that you have a place where you do that. Because you would much rather build your little media room and your little pool tables and your little everything else, but you don't have no room for God in your house. Oh, I know I'm preaching. No, you don't have to like it. I'm preaching. He done blessed you with so much, you left him out of the house. Anyways, that's too convicting. Let's move on. So why should we pray? Let's get to your notes. It's much easier. That's convicting. Let's get to your notes. Why pray? Let me give you six reasons why you should. Six reasons why you should spend time with God, unhurried time with God. One, because God commands it. God wills that you pray. He says, devote yourself to me. He says, I want you to devote, spend time, be faithful to communicate with me. Number two, he says, God desires that you ask him for things. He wants you to. Actually, number three says, he delights when you do. He delights when you ask him. He wants you as a good father to run to him so that he can hear you. By the way, why do you think you can play God? Do you know that you always know when your kids try to play you? Anybody know when your kids try to play you? Hey, Joker, we done played all them games before. You can't play us. Why do you think you can play Jesus? You think, all right, you know what? Let me go to church. Let me go to church. You think Jesus don't know? Hey, Joker, you're just doing this because you want something from me that you're going to ask for me a little later on. But you're just trying to check the religious box. He says, I want a relationship with you. I desire, I delight when you come and ask me. Number four. It says, God takes steps to answer your prayers. Just look at the passage. Read it up when you get some time this week. God takes, he loves to answer our prayer. Loves it like any good dad would. Number five. He says, by nature, I'm a giver. I'm not a hoarder. I'm not somebody who keeps it to me. I'm a giver. Last one says this. It says, God wants to see us to see him as sufficient, self-sufficient, and ourselves as totally dependent on him. Let me show you how important this thing called prayer is. When God created the whole universe, he created the earth, and then he created man in the center of this thing called earth. Listen. After sin, God says, you're going to be totally dependent upon me. And everything you need, you're going to need to come to me for. So now you're dependent. God says, I'm self-sufficient. I'm all-knowing. You're dependent. You know what connects us? Prayer. Listen now. So that means prayer is one of the most significant reasons why he created this whole thing. So you can connect with him. It's the only way to do it. So he says, I know you're dependent on me. I know I'm all sufficient, so you need to communicate with me, and I want to communicate with you, which means when you don't, you're telling yourself, I'm not dependent upon God, which leads to arrogance, which leads to, I don't need you, God. I can do this all by myself. What an arrogant statement for the God who created you. Why pray? Because your heavenly Father loves it. Do you know the greatest thing? Can you imagine a 50-year-old man, 60-year-old man, going to his dad and say, Dad, I need your opinion about something. You know the greatest thing? You think you want your kids to come to you for gifts? You want them to come to you because they want your opinion. Do you know what you want your teenagers to come say to you? Hey, Mom, do you think I should do this or this? That's where intimacy resides. Because you don't want me for what you can get. You want me for who I am and what I know. That's what the Father wants you to pursue him for. And yet still we have so many people still just running to God. Gimme, 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 gimme. Let's move on. Why pray? And let's now move to how to pray. The text says, Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says this. It says, I want you to devote yourselves to prayer. It says, rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, and say this last phrase with me, devoted to, two more times, devoted to, last time, devoted to, look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, 2 says this, read the first phrase again, devote yourselves to keeping alert in it with an attitude of, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it. The reason why we're not alert, the reason why we don't realize how much we need prayer, is because we don't realize we're in spiritual warfare all the time, which is why you need the Father and the Son to come to your aid. Let's check it out. How do you do? Let's use the word fades. The F stands for, it's not either or, it's both and. Free and formed. So, free. If you say, somebody's just free with their prayers, it refers, by the way, to the content of your prayer. What's in your prayer? It refers to being free. But some of those people who you see and they're free and their personality is just kind of bubbly. Hey, God, what's up, God? Hey, dude, good to see you, God. You would call them shallow. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's an appropriate form of prayer. But then the form side, when you see those people who their prayers are just long and they're ritualistic and they're reading it, some of you on the free side will say, oh, yeah, that's just hollow, man. That don't mean nothing because you're just repeating those. And God says it's not either or, it's both and. So there's some prayers that you should pray. That's in the Bible. Let me give you one of them. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 19. You should pray that over your family every week. Ephesians 5, 14, go read it sometime. Ephesians 5, 14, you should pray this as a prayer over your family. Their prayers, the Lord's Prayer. You should pray that over your family. You should pray all the time, the serenity prayer. You should, God, help me to accept the things I cannot change and the courage to know the differences. Yesterday, my daughter was sleeping, and I had to say the serenity prayer over my situation. So my daughter's sleeping. I'm trying to get some sleep middle of the day, and my next-door neighbors are playing basketball. And they're playing basketball, making all kind of noise. She's trying to sleep. I'm trying to sleep. None of us can sleep. And I have to say, do I need to go out here and tell them they need to stop playing basketball? The courage to change the things I can, and then the wisdom to know the differences. No, that's their property. They can do whatever they want on their property. You need to get a bigger house so that they're not that close to you. So I had to know the difference. I can't control them. I need to chill my little tail, and I need to go back in, go on the other side of the house, and pray that both of us go to sleep. But I can't. If you don't know that, you'll go make a stupid decision and try to control people that you have no control over. That makes sense, everybody? But a serenity prayer, if you pray it and you pray that over your life, you will know that's not my job to get mad at them. They on their own property. They can do whatever they want to do. Here's another one. This week, as I'm doing this 40-day deal, I'm writing down all my prayers, y'all. All my prayers, I'm writing them down. Do you know, I'm embarrassed to tell you, but it's the truth. Do you know that when I finish all my, I wrote down my top 10 things I want God to do this year. Top 10. Do you know that if God answered all my prayers, only people in my family and people in this church would be blessed? I was embarrassed. There are both 5 people in Jamaica that would be blessed and everybody else here. That's it. Ain't nobody else getting blessed. God answered all my prayers this year. Woo! Yeah, God! 4 people in Jamaica and then this church and my immediate family. They get blessed. Nobody else. So what's up with the people in Afghanistan and in Turkey and in Saudi Arabia and in Iran and in Israel? And what's up with that? No, you're so selfish, Pastor Conway, that you don't even think that God's world is bigger than just your little world? That's why you need lists. You need lists of things to pray for. So that's why you need journal to write them down. So you know, God, when you go to before God, I have a list that I'm praying for. God, here's this. And it's not just the sum total of you. Can we get a little more mature than that? The third one, watch this note, is pattern. And I need everybody to write this one down. Patterns. There is a pattern. God is a five-dimensional God, yet still we only pray in one dimension. God's a five-dimensional God. We only pray in one dimension. God sees, watch this, God sees outside of time. We only see in time. So you see today, and you know about tomorrow, and you hope about the future. God says, I see it all as one, because I'm not in time. You're limited by time, I'm not. So I'm going to show you 5 dimensions. It's the 5 points on the sheet in orange now that I'm going to talk to you about. 5 dimensions. This is a pattern of prayer that I want you to start praying. Check it out. Number one says, I want you to look backwards to the cross. Every time you pray, I want you first to look backward to the cross. Why am I doing that, Pastor? Because at the cross, you'll find out how deeply God loves you, how costly sin and evil is, and how completely forgiven I am. That's what the cross reminds you of. The cross says God took care of all your sins, the ones you committed 2 years ago, the one you committed right before you got in church, the one you're going to commit 2 years from now. He says, I paid for all of that back at the cross. Therefore, you ought to be grateful every time you come to me because I took care of sin. I absorbed it in my body. Therefore, you ought to be grateful every time you come to prayer because God's taking care of that for you. It starts by saying, God, I'm looking back. And I marvel at the move you made to show me how much you love me. Therefore, I don't want nothing from you yet. I'm going to appreciate what you have already done for me. Number two, I look back to the cross. Number two, I look up to my Father's loving face. Ladies and gentlemen, too many of you still believe that you can behave your way out of God's love. You can't. God loves you so much on your worst day, he loves you. You know how I know this is true? This week, everybody in my house got Nerf guns for Christmas. These little Nerf guns. There, I went to Walmart one day trying to get a gun, and somebody from the church told me, ooh, Pastor, this is the best gift. So I bought them all. Everybody, Jada got hers, I got mine. So all in my house is just always a war going on, okay? Anyways, so this one day I got my son real good, and then he came, and he woke me up, and I got up, and then, no joke, this close. He said, gotcha. That's not the problem. The problem is, it went straight in my eye. Straight, I mean, I don't know how I taught him. Anyways, perfect accuracy, right in my eye. My eye's swollen up, everything's going on. Call the doctor, oh my God, what must I do? But in the moment, I said, because I'm not in the cussing ministry, I don't cuss. But I said, son! That's what I said initially. And then he ran away, and he ran behind, no joke, seriously, and he ran behind the door, and he was sad. And I said, hey, son, come. I'm still in pain. I said, hey, son, come on over here. Sit right here. Dude, are you okay? It's all right. We're going to be all right, hopefully. Daddy, Daddy loves you. And then he says, and then he prayed for me too. He says, God, please let Daddy have two eyes, not one eye. Think about it now. If my son shot me straight in the eye, and it was excruciating. Took 2 days to get cleared up. And I still wanted to embrace him and tell him I love him. How much more? Your heavenly Father, when you willfully, intentionally sin against him, does he want you to know, I still love you, even though you shot him straight in the eye? Your heavenly Father loves you so much, he doesn't operate based on what you do. He operates based on who his son is. Which is why the issue of sin is not the issue anymore. He loves you. So when you go to prayer, if you're not looking up to God in love, to the Father's love and faith. Now the problem is, some of us, listen, because we have a bad perspective on fatherhood, then it skews your imagery of God. But I'm here to tell you, your God don't love you when you're good and not when you're bad. He loves you, period. So that's why you can bask in the love of a dad that's always knocking at the door, desiring, no matter how bad you are, desiring to have a relationship with you. How can you turn a God like that away that loves you unconditionally? He says, look back at the cross. Look up into the Father's face. Then he says, look in. Look in to Jesus living inside of me. What's that mean? Jesus living inside of me. That means now I got to clean some stuff up. Now I've seen the Father's love. I've seen what he did on the cross. Now I got to clean some stuff up. Now he says, God, will you clean me up so that anything that don't look like you, will you take it away? Because he doesn't want you to stay in your sin. He wants you to clean that up. Now he says, can you take care of that, please, and align my heart with your heart so we're running in the same direction? Then number four, he says, then look around. And ask the Holy Spirit, how do you want to use me? Sit them with me so that the person taking notes can catch up. Here we go. Number one is, look back to the, come on everybody, look back to the, Number two, I look upward toward my Father's loving. Number three, read it. I look to Jesus's living inside of me. And then number four, I look around and ask the Holy Spirit to use me. You notice you don't come up in the conversation yet? You notice what you want don't come up in the conversation yet? It's not there yet. Because you have to be grateful for the past. You have to be grateful for the Father's love. You have to be grateful for Jesus' desire to cleanse you. You have to be grateful for what God wants. Seek he first, his kingdom, not yours, his. And then number five, look to the future by faith. Look forward, look ahead. And now you're saying to God, here are my desires, here are my dreams, here's the stuff I want. Will you help me, please? But it's the last thing you do, not the first thing you do. We invert that. And we say, gimme, 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 gimme. And then, oh yeah, thanks for the cross and everything else. He says, start with realizing the cost that the cross was before you get to what you want. No, that's a five-dimensional prayer. You and I pray only one-dimensional. Gimme, 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 gimme. By the way, here's what's beautiful about this. Watch this. Watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He gives us a daily reminder. He says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. It's a weekly reminder of the five-dimensional God that we serve. That's called communion. He says, every time you go to communion, he says, look back at the cross. Look up to the Father's loving face and say, thank you for sending your son. Then he says, can you thank Jesus now and align your heart with Jesus' heart? Then can you get the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? He says, listen, the third part, look inside. He says, when you come to communion, if you have aught with your brother, leave your offering and go deal with it. But don't cause death on your own life. Deal with it five-dimensional. He tells us all the time. Every week you do this. Pray like that, not the way you pray. So as we go into this for today, he wants us to do that. Don't just pray about what you want. God, God, what's important for you? All right, let's keep going. That's just the F. Let's go to the A. The A says, I want you to pray alone, but I want you also to pray with the assembly or assembled. Alone means I want you to have your closet time. Praying as an assembly means I want you to have corporate prayer. I want you to pray with others, but I want you to pray with yourself. It's both and. It's not either or. If you're going to have a relationship with God, you got to learn how to pray with yourself in your closet. And then you also have to learn how to pray with others, not just by yourself. Number three, the D stands for desperate and delighted. Your prayer closet should have your tears. The cushion that you kneel on, if you kneel on, it should have your tears of when you're crying out desperate before God. For too many of us, we don't cry out before God, which is why, number two, in intimacy, you're not being transparent with him. If you're not being transparent with God, you can't be intimate. He has got to know how you really feel. God ain't scare you. You think God's going to say, oh, I didn't know that. He's not. He knows it before you thought about it. So then, you're the only one that don't want to confess it and admit it before God. He invites you, wail out to me, cry out to me. Tell me how you really think about stuff. I want to hear. That's what intimate relationships are for. You can speak honestly with each other. You can cry out to each other. When stuff is joyful and you can't believe what God's blessed you with, then you're supposed to be dancing and screaming in your closet. Your kid's supposed to say, Mom done gone crazy. Because of how delightful you are in what God has done and in who he is. The E stands for explosive. This refers to the length of your prayers. Now, the E stands for explosive while simultaneously extended. It talks about the length. Some prayers are short and to the point, hey, God, here's what I need in the name of Jesus, bye. And then there's some that are extended. It takes a little longer. The S stands for scheduled. This is when we pray. This N stands for scheduled, and it stands for spontaneous. He says, pray without ceasing. And on the other side, you see Jesus spending a whole night in prayer. If Jesus can spend all night, and he's perfect, talking to his Father, what's wrong with you? If he can spend all night, someone stood at the side of the line, listen, this dude crazy, I'm going to my bed. If he can spend all night, and he's the perfect one, then why don't you think you need to have scheduled time with God? Schedule, plan it, intentional. I bet you I don't have to talk to you about scheduling your money, about scheduling your budget. No, you got that down because we live in Collin County. We got it down. We know. Oh, yeah, your money better be tight. But when it comes to God time, we don't. schedule it all the way through. Now, here's how we're going to close our time. Everybody, when you came in here today, you got a table tennis ball. And I want you to do something in particular with it. And then, Derek, you can come up now. I want you to do something in particular with this. I want everybody to write down on your table tennis ball, if you're in the atrium, you too. And if you don't have one, ushers, get ready. I'm going to ask you to give everybody one in a minute. If you don't have one, you're going to get one in a minute. But I want you to write down the one, maximum two things you're asking God for this year. Only two. You're going to turn this in on your way out today. You're going to turn the ball in that you wrote down on your prayer. It's going to be among other balls, and we're going to collect them all, and we're going to pray over them all, number two, and you're going to ask God for that all year. Then, after that, next week, you're going to have orange balls all around this table, and every time God answers your prayers, every time, you need to come down here, get a ball, write the answer, and we're putting this in another container. Here's what I want you to show you. I want to show you how good your God is, and that we have not because we ask not, because we don't spend time in prayer, then there's stuff that we never even care to ask God for that we'll never get because we don't ask Him. So your desire, my goal for you, is for you to see the goodness and the greatness of your God when you simply communicate with Him. So your desire, here's all I want you to do, is there pens in the seat box in front of you, just write it real small. Here's God, here's this is what I'm asking you for in 2019. It's okay to have desires, it's okay to ask. Here's what I'm asking you for in 2019, this is what I want. And you just write it out. On your way out, you turn it in. And whenever He answers it, you come get an orange ball starting next week, and you go put it in the other one. Is that all right, everybody? All right, now, here's what I want you to do for my closing illustration as I show you how we do this thing. Now, I want to use the idea of a table tennis to prove and summarize why prayer is so important and why you must do it. Five things I want to say and then I'm done. Number one, here it is. It says, prayer is coming to the table and choosing to engage with God. God is always there, ladies and gentlemen. Your job every week is simply to go and engage with God. This is all He wants you to do. He's always there all throughout your day. Your only assignment is engaging with God and just having dialogue with Him and interacting with Him on a daily basis. All He wants to know is, hey, can you come hang out with me? All I want to do is hang with you. All I want to do is pray with you. That's all He wants. Engagement. You don't get up and you go about your business without engaging in God. You don't get up and take care of your little trophy kids, your little stuff, all the stuff you want. No. Before you do that, can you engage with God first, please? Can you hang out with God first? Can you schedule some time with God first? Number two, here we go. Here's what it says. This is not in your notes, by the way. This is just some extra stuff. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer doesn't mean you have to leave the table. Ladies and I've seen this over and over again. Come on, D. Hey, God, here's what I want. I need you to give me what I want, God. Please, this is what I want. I've been asking you this for the last 5 years. This is what I want. I need it, and I need it now. And God, you're taking too long, God. I've been asking for a minute now, God. And then you take your ball and you say, I'm done. Listen, so many people have left churches because God don't give them what they want. And they have bailed on their relationship with God because they don't get it. And they get mad at God. And they get angry at God because God doesn't give them what they want. The point of the table is not for you to get what you want. The point of the table is for you to consistently be in the presence of God. Next one. Watch it. Here it is. The goal is not to get your way. The goal is to learn His way. That's the goal. So your goal of being here is to study Him. Not study you, study Him. So your goal is, okay, let me see. Okay, God, I'm getting to know your little style. I'm getting to know who you are. You're getting to study God, and you're getting to see who He is. That's the point. I'm getting competitive, y'all. I was going to smash that really hard. Something raised up inside of me. Anyways, the point is not to win the point or to get. The point is just to study God. Be in His presence and rest there. Let's go a couple more and then we're done. Next one. Here's what it says. It says the goal is connection and consistency, not isolation and inconsistency. The goal is not to say, God, you know what? I want to come over there today, but I don't have time today, but I'm going to check on you tomorrow morning. I promise you I'm going to come tomorrow morning. The goal is connection. You can't operate apart from God. You need the table. You need to be in His presence. This, you want to be a tree firmly planted by the stream. He is the stream. That's why you need consistent connection with him. Isolation means I'm nowhere near the stream, which means when people tick me off, they're going to hear the flesh because I'm nowhere connected to the stream. The last one, then we're done. One more. Do we have one more? Or is that, oh, yeah. Ooh, this one. Ooh. Don't be satisfied with the knowledge of God, church people. Church people, we must insist on experiencing his presence. Don't be, oh, yeah, I know God. Oh, yeah, I grew up in church all my life. That's not good enough. You must have your own personal time with him. You must cling to, I get to be with God. This is what I was made for right here. I get to hang out with him today. See, God trying to win now. See that? God trying to win. See that? God trying to win. Always somebody trying to play God. Anyway. I'm done. I gotta go. Listen, please, listen. If you want to have an intimate relationship with God, there are three things that it demands. Tell me what they are, please. Number one, unhurried time with God. Number two, transparency. Number three, mutual submission. All of me, everything I have, being leveraged for your benefit, God. It's the only way to get intimacy. You can't have intimacy apart from those. One Community Church, I'm pleading with you this week as we go through this prayer week. I need all our leaders to be here at 3:00. I need all the men tomorrow. I want you to lead the way and set the tone for your family that as for me and my house, we're going to serve God and put him first. We're not doing the religious activity. We're doing a relationship. Only way you know you have a relationship is if you spend time with God. Unhurried time with him. Tell me the three again. Unhurried time with God. Number two, transparency. Number three, mutual submission. Let me tell you what that is so you remember. It's all of me, leveraging all of me, everything I have, all my resources, all my strength, all my gifts, all my abilities for the benefit of the other person. That's how we get intimacy. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for us to leave the religious activity, open the door, and say, God, I want to have a relationship with you. God, you can come in. Whatever you need me to do, I'm all in. I just want to connect with you. Father, for many of us, God, all we've ever seen is religious activity. We don't even know what it really looks like to model intimacy with God. Will you please teach us how to do that? As we use the book, Draw the Circle, and does everybody get their God? Will you teach us to take our word and just spend unhurried time with you? Well, you use the book as a guide, but you use it as a guide to get us to your word and unhurried time with you or closet time. I pray that every person in here, every person in the atrium, every person that ever hears this talk, that they will be in hot pursuit of opening that door, because you will not force us to love you. We've got to make that choice to open the door, spend unhurried time, be open and transparent, and finally, offer our mutual submission. God, we're going to leverage everything we have for you. Will you help us at One Community Church to do that? If there's somebody here that doesn't know how to do it and wants some help, will you have them come forward in a moment for prayer as everybody else leaves out? Will you help us write all our prayers on that ball? Help us to turn that in. God, if we're not in a community group, will you help us to get in one this year so we can stay connected and people can spur us on to good works, to spend time with God? Will you help us as we go before you this whole week? Help us to put you first. In the name of Jesus, we're pleading with you, God. We're going to open the door because we want a relationship with you. We're tired of religious activity. We want a relationship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Come on, give God a round of applause. Yeah.